when you understand, when the Spirit of God gives you an understanding of the word that you have read or the word that has been spoken, the word then has taken up residence on your inside and you have victory as a result. I remember a couple of weeks ago when I was speaking, I had made reference to the fact that, you know, the scripture says that the same word that was preached to us was also preached to them, but did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So the same word that has been, spoken to everyone, the condition that determined the outcome of the word that has been heard is conditioned on the person that has heard it. It's conditioned on the environment in which the seed of the word has been sown. Glory to Jesus. So, all that being said, you need the Spirit of God to give you an understanding of that word for you to benefit from what that word is meant to deliver to you. When that word becomes flesh, when it comes into you, that's Christ being formed in you, because Christ is the word. In him is life. In him. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word was God. All things were made by him, meaning that he is a person. The word that was spoken is a person. Glory to Jesus. So, the word mystery, when the word, you see, we cannot, when we take up, you can't read the Bible like you're reading a novel. You can't read the Bible like you're reading a textbook that's communicating man's wisdom. You need the Spirit to bring life to the word that you have heard. You know, Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He said, unto you it is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. Unto you. That statement in itself means that it is not given to everyone to understand. Unto you it is given to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. So when you position yourself to receive what the word that has been spoken, and for the Spirit to give you an understanding, you stand a benefit. You know, it's not given to everybody to understand it, but it is given to you to understand when you apply yourself to it and you open up your heart to receive what the Spirit is imprinting in your heart. In verse 4 of that same scripture, it says that by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So Christ is a mystery. By which when you read, you may understand. Meaning there are people that will read and will not understand. So by the Spirit, when you read, you are specially positioned to understand what you have read, for understanding to come to you. So this is also saying that the entire message of the New Testament is Christ. Christ is at the center of it all. And all of the Old Testament, as I mentioned before, are all Christ in types and shadows and all of that. But in the New Testament, the center message of the New Testament is Christ. So Paul, being the writer of two-thirds of the New Testament, is saying that Christ is at the center of all that I have written. Christ is at the center of everything that I have written. So to understand this mystery, you require revelation. And that revelation is given by the Spirit of God. So, I'd mentioned before, God is, there's only one God. We saw him in the beginning as the creator. And at incarnation, we saw him as Christ. And after ascension, can you take care of him? After ascension, this same God has now decided to take up residence on your inside. So you carry divinity in you. You carry God. You carry God. In verse 5, it says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, and that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. In Christ realities. This is the crux of the message of the matter that Apostle Paul was, giving to his readers. So Christ is at the center. How do you experience these realities? As I'm speaking, you can't see my words, but the word that I'm speaking is forming. I'm painting a picture in your mind, in your heart, and with the pictures that I'm painting, you are having a level of understanding, but you require the Spirit of God to give you the real message. Beyond the words that I'm speaking, you require a deeper level of understanding that the Spirit of God gives to you. And when it gives it to you, it gives it to you personally. So I could say something, and since I started speaking, I probably will have spoken probably 2,000-3,000 words. You may not remember every word that I've spoken, but there's something that will stand out to you that will remain with you. And what remains with you, the impression that you get out of everything that I'm saying, will be what you retain, and that is what you begin to chew on, and that will be Christ being formed in you. Glory to Jesus. So the preaching of the gospel is unveiling Christ. See, the reason we showed up in this place this morning is for Christ. We want to know, I don't know about you, but I want to know more about him. Because when I know him, you cannot know you until you know him. Because your identity is rooted in him. When you know him, when you see him as he is, you know, the Bible says, Jesus, he said, as he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. If that scripture has said as he was, so are we, that would have been good enough. Because as he was, he walked on waters. As he was, he spoke to the troubling waters, says, peace be still. And the turbulence obeyed his voice. As he was, he walked about healing those who are oppressed of the devil. As he was, he made a difference in his world. As he was, he changed the trajectory of the entire human, direction. He changed things as he was. But that's not the best part of it. He says, as he is in the presence of God, so are we in this world. As he is in the presence of God, as he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, as he is, so are we. And for that alone, matching it with the word in that song this morning, that holiness is Christ in me. Holiness is Christ in me. Holiness is Christ in me. Christ is resident on my inside. I lack nothing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if we have this understanding, that as he is, so am I. You can look your challenges in the face and tell it and command peace be still. Because as he, not as he was, as he is. Because who he is better than who he was. Who he is better than who he was. Who he was will have been good enough. But who he is better. And as he is, so are we in this world. Glory to Jesus. Ephesians 1:17-19. You know, Apostle Paul was praying for the Ephesian church, and he prayed for them this way. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So, if as he is, so are you. In other words, you are seated with Christ. You are seated where he's seated. You're seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Glory to Jesus. So this knowledge is the unveiling of the Son of God, that Christ has been unveiled to you, that the person of Christ has been revealed to you, that you now know who he is. And by knowing who he is, you know who you are, because your identity is rooted in him. You know, I was thinking the other day, Jesus,
I'm going to use some, you know, this word, and I hope you don't mind. The word is in Greek, is prototokos, meaning that, you know, if you're going to produce this stand, for instance, they will have done a, if this is going to be produced for the first time, they will do what you call a prototype. Like, so it will be, this will be the prototype of what will be mass produced eventually. So when you see this, whatever you see in this is what you're going to see in what will come later. So Jesus became the prototype, the prototokos. He is the firstborn among many. Jesus became the firstborn. So when we see him, every other person that will link up with him has his full identity. So what you see in the prototype is will be replicated, has been replicated in every other one that will follow suit. So your full identity is seen in the firstborn, which is Christ. So I said that to say, you know, Jesus is God 100%, and yet man 100%. And that's why he has all of the identity of God, and yet he has all the identities of man. That's why he could feel pain. That's why when he had to, the Bible says that he endured the cross. He endured it. The word endurance speaks to the fact that it wasn't butter and bread. It wasn't fun when he was going through it. He had to endure it. The human part of him felt the pain that he had to go through. And as God, he has all the power to say, oh, I'm not doing this anymore. He had the power to call down fire from heaven to destroy all the people that were tormenting his body at that time. But he chose you. He looked into the future, saw you, and said, oh, I will endure this. For Matilda, I will endure this. And he looked at you. For Jack, I will endure it. For Chelsea, I will endure this. I will go through this pain. For Owen, I will endure this. I'm mentioning the names that I know. For Sam, I will endure this. So, he endured this pain so that you can find your righteousness in him. Holiness is not a function of what I did. Holiness is a function of who is in me and Christ in me, the hope of glory. I don't want to preempt myself. Let me move on. So the knowledge of this mystery has to be revealed to you. Ladies and gentlemen, and the Bible says that it was hidden from the people that lived in ages before. It was hidden from them, meaning that they do not have the knowledge that we have today. The knowledge that we have today, the level of understanding that we have today, those people did not have access to it. In other words, we stand at a vantage position from where Moses stood. Moses had no understanding of that, of this knowledge. Elijah did not. Jeremiah did not. Isaiah did not. Not even Abraham. You know, Jesus was speaking and he said, Abraham looked to this day. He said, Abraham looked to my days and rejoiced. Abraham looked to the days of Jesus and rejoiced. It was not meant to be a part of those days. But looking into those days by faith, looking to the days of Jesus, he rejoiced. And knowing that those days are better than his days. I thought, I was chewing on this thing. And I said to me, you know, the scripture says that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. So the people in the Old Testament that we're reading about today, they are looking and they're wondering, really? All of the successes that they recorded that we are still reading about today, they are looking and they're saying, is this all you could do? Is this all you could do with the resources that you have at your arsenal? This is all you could do? They didn't have God on their inside. They didn't have the Holy Spirit on their inside. God was never resident in any of them. But you have God being resident on your inside. So by Gentiles, the people that were supposed to be Gentiles, that were alienated from the covenant of Abraham, now have access. They now have access. You know, the gospel initially was meant to be for all, every of the promises of God was meant to be for the Israelites. If you're outside of that biology, that genealogy of Abraham, you are regarded an outcast. You are considered Gentiles. You are not within that benefit. You can't benefit from all of that. But the Bible says that he came to his own, but his own received him not. He came to his people, who are supposed to be Israelites. He came to them, but they did not receive him. But the Bible says that as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So you are a son of God. And by son, I am not, it's not gender based. So you are a son of God. You are a son of God. Whatever is entitled to a son, you are entitled to. Everything that God has given to all of mankind in Christ Jesus. Once you believe and you confess Christ as your Lord, you have access to all of that. Colossians 1:26, the Bible says that the mystery which has been hidden from ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints, to them God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Moses did not have Christ in him. Adam did not have Christ in him. Elijah did not. Isaiah did not. Jeremiah did not. But here you are, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory to Jesus. In Hebrews 12, from verse 1, the Bible says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with patience the race that is mapped out for us. Let us run with patience the race that is mapped out for us. You know, we're speaking the other couple of weeks ago in Jeremy and Matilda's house, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, when you become a Christian, when you give your life to Christ, it's not a ticket to no trouble. You come to Christ, and you will have trouble. But Jesus said, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. Now, this kind of fight that we are into is a fight that has been fixed before you got into it. The fight has been fixed. You won. Victory has been declared before you got into the fight. Victory has been done in Christ before you got into this fight. So you are getting into it in order for you to experience this victory. So when you have this victory, when you have that this understanding, you know, imagine that you're going into a match, or a wrestling match, or soccer, or whatever game you're getting into, and you know that you won before the game starts. What will be your attitude? You'll be relaxed. What am I saying? Be relaxed. You need to have this relaxation, knowing that this match is fixed. You have been blessed. God is not going to bless you. The Bible says that he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You are in Christ. You have victory. You have victory in Christ. Wow. Wow. So the prophet and the men, you know, that lived are looking from the grandstand and they're cheering you, and they're saying to you, maybe you can't hear it. You just couldn't hear. But if you begin to open the ears of your spirit and you begin to, you know, study the word and begin to see your victory, that it's not a function of your circumstances, it's a function of who is with you, who is in you, the resources that you have in Christ Jesus. You won before you got into this. You are a victor and not a victim. The greatest thing that has happened to humanity, is that Christ is resident in you. That's the greatest thing that has happened to humanity. It's not a function of how much you have in your bank account, how many houses you have, who likes you, who doesn't, what kind of job you have. It's not a function of any of that. Your experience is not a function of any of those. The greatest gift that God gave to you is that Christ stood as a prototype, 100% man, 100% God. And as a prototype, you are 100% man with God being resident on your inside. Everything that you will ever need is found in him. Every need that you will ever have has been taken care of in him, and you lack nothing. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, Bible says that, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So what I'm speaking this morning is God's wisdom in mystery. God's wisdom in a mystery. It says, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. So this mystery was ordained in God in glory. It was ordained before you showed up. It was ordained for you in glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor have it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. See, in the original text, it's not for those who love God. It was for those whom he loved in the original text. So all of this were ordained for those who God loves. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you can't love God. You lack capacity to love God. But the Bible says that he has shed his love abroad in your heart. So God put his love in your heart so that you can love him with his love in your heart. God has shed his love abroad in your heart so that you can receive. He can be the recipient of his love in your heart. Glory to Jesus. And the Bible says that, I mentioned that. So God has prepared and reserved these blessings for those whom he loves. In Romans 5:5, the Bible says that we love God. It says the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the Spirit of God has been given to you as God's love shared in your heart so you can love him. So God, in other words, God has empowered you to love him. God empowers you to love him. Romans 8:32, Bible says that he that did not spare his only begotten son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So God did not spare his only begotten son. The best that God has is his son. The best in God's arsenal is his son, and he freely gave his son to you. Because if he did not spare that son of his, if he did not spare the best that is his, what else will he withhold from you? Everything that you need, every of your need has been taken care of in Christ. John 15:13, Bible says that greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. So he laid down the life of his son for you as a friend of God. So God's love is towards you. God's love is towards you. Why? It's to reconcile you back unto God. So you don't love him. Rather, he loves you. Hallelujah. Romans 5 verse 8, he says, but that God demonstrate his love towards us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, while we do not deserve this love,
He gave his love to us. 1 Corinthians 2:9, Bible says that eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those whom he loves, as I mentioned before. So man is a recipient of the grace that God has so freely given. And in verse 10, it says that, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So revelation is a function of the Spirit, until the Spirit gives you an understanding. Understanding. The Spirit of God gives us the understanding of the Scriptures. And when we have that understanding, we are able to function at our best. Because when we see him, when we know him, our true identity is revealed. Our true identity is revealed when we know him. And you know, in Christ we know all things. We don't function in ignorance when we come to this knowledge. We do not function in ignorance. We know God. Hebrews 8:8. The Bible says, because I'm going to read from verse 8. It says, because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. In verse 10, it says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their heart. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Says none of them shall teach his neighbor. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me. All shall know me, from the least to the greatest of them. So in this new dispensation, no one will have to be told. No one will have to be taught. That understanding will be automatic because of the Spirit that is now resident in their inside. It says, I will write that law in their heart. So they are not making reference to it, reading it, going to a book to read. I will write my laws in their heart. I will write my laws in their heart. So this mystery has been revealed in Christ. And when you receive the Spirit of God in you, that which was a mystery to the men that lived in the Old Testament is revealed to you by the Spirit of God. Colossians 2:2. Bible says that their heart may be encouraged, being knitted together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to know the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are all packaged in a mystery called Christ. This is packaged together in a mystery called Christ. And when Christ is, and this Christ has been gifted you, you are the recipient of all of God's wisdom, all of God's knowledge. Nothing is hidden from you. Nothing is hidden from you. You know all things because you have the secret of God in your heart, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have God on your inside. You have God that has taken up residence in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
This speaks to the full understanding of the full measure of what God has done for you in Christ. Glory to you. 1 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God is manifest in the flesh." So God is Christ in human form. So the riches of Christ is not referring to materialism. It's not referring to money or houses or cars or whatever you consider a need in your life. The mystery, the riches of God in you is that Christ is in you. Christ is resident in you. 1 Peter 1:3. Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us. The word begotten means that he gave birth to us. He gave birth to us to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ. You see, if Christ be dead, then our hope is in vain. But he arose, is resurrected, and he's now taking up residence in you. The mercy of God saved you, called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now you have God's DNA. You have God's DNA. Who he is, you are. There's a divine exchange that took place. When he raised him from the dead, the Bible says that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is at work in you. Is working in you. All of God's power, everything that moved Christ from the dead is now in you. So you can walk tall knowing that you are who God says you are. Knowing that your challenges holds no water. Your challenges is irrelevant when you come to this knowledge. When you know that God has taken residence in you. Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have these treasures in earthen vessels, that the excellency of God may be of God and not of us. So all of God's treasure is packaged in Christ and delivered to you. And you are the beneficiaries of all that was wrought in Christ. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us in Christ. And we grow in this knowledge. And we grow in this understanding. And our world is a beneficiary of all that you have wrought for us in Christ. And we make the difference. We change things. We make a difference. Your name is glorified. And everyone under the sound of my voice says, amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Go in peace. God bless you.